and down below can go downstairs to Children's Church if they would like this morning. I'm going to ask you to remain standing and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're back in John today. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. We're going to be talking about slavery this morning and freedom. John chapter 8, 31 through 38. Everybody there? Give me a big amen. Amen. All right, let's go. Here we go, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with the Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this morning again that we are here as brothers and sisters to worship you, Lord. And Lord, today as we talk about being slaves to sin, the freedom that's found through the shed blood of your Son on the cross, and then being slaves to you, Lord, I ask that we will humble ourselves and recognize where we're actually at in our lives, and whether we're being obedient to you, who we are slaves to, and Lord, that we will acknowledge and recognize that we have been slaves to sin, and you set us free. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, if there's people here today that don't know you, Lord, let your word will not return void. So I ask, Lord, that we're going to sow some seeds this morning. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will convict them and that they will get down on their knees today and cry out to you to save them and forgive them. They will acknowledge that they have sin in their life, that they've been bound by sin, and only the shed blood of your Son can forgive them and set them free. Lord, we love you and we want to honor you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So, we're talking about freedom, and we're talking about slavery, and we can't really get away from the fact that, like, next Saturday and in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating a really big national holiday that everybody loves to celebrate. I mean, everybody likes the 4th of July. They love Independence Day. And so I want to start just a little bit this morning as being someone who enjoys American history. I like this holiday. On July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. I had the opportunity to go and view the Declaration of Independence this year in Washington, D.C., and it's really, really neat. If you ever have a chance to go out there and see some of those documents, it's just awesome getting to see it. You can't take pictures of them, but it's really neat seeing their signatures on it and seeing the original documents. But the reason why they signed that is the British were taxing the colonies and not giving them representation in Parliament. And so really our people had become, the American colonies had become basically slaves of the British because they had no representation at all. And so back then in 1776 and before then actually, they started declaring, and they signed the document and declared independence from Britain, and a war waged called the American Revolution. It was about an 8-year war, and we won freedom from Great Britain. And because of that freedom, we're all guaranteed some freedoms in our country that are really just simply amazing. Freedom of speech. You have the freedom to say what you want on the street. I have freedom in this country, which I'm very thankful for, to preach from this pulpit, because there's a lot of countries around the world that you aren't allowed to do that, that the church is heavily persecuted. We have freedom to assemble. We can go wage a protest, which we need to do sometimes. I mean, it's against a government that is doing wrong. You see a lot of protests on abortion now. That should be something that we're thinking about. So we have freedom to assemble. We have have freedom of religion. You don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. And I don't want to ever force someone to believe in Christ. So we have freedom in this country that people can worship how they want to worship. We have freedom of the press. They can write things, whatever they'd like to write, whether it be true or not. They have freedom to write it. And we also, my personal favorite, we have the right to bear arms. Well, we can be gun owners in this country, and the largest army in the world is 70 million American gun owners. So that's a freedom that I don't take lightly, and I like to add to the collection when I can. But there's quite a few more that I could talk about freedom. And guys, I'm thankful this morning that we do live in, I believe, one of the freest countries in the entire world, and that we can come and worship and do that. Because there's many people around this world that are not free, and they live as literal slaves. They do. And in the Bible, let me say this, you're going to see slavery mentioned a lot. Jesus talked about it. Slavery is mentioned a lot because it was a fact then that men would suppress other men and put them in bondage and slavery. And a lot of times you will hear an argument that the Bible condones slavery. That is not the case. Jesus talked about it and Scripture talked about it because it was a fact. It had happened. It happened then. It's happened throughout the course of centuries, and it still is even going on today. So it doesn't condone it. And like we talked a little bit about last week, that all men are created by God and we're under His authority. So black, white, Hebrew, Greek, enslaving someone or having prejudice against someone is just wrong. And it's not scriptural, and the Bible doesn't teach it. So let's transition that into our text today. And let me start off that everybody in here today is a slave. Everybody in this room today is a slave. You're either a slave, as Jesus talks about, to sin, when He's talking to the Pharisees and the Jews here, or you are a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to serve one or the other. And just as He does many times, Jesus makes a distinction between those who believe in Him and those who don't. There's a clear difference in being children of God and not. And in verse 34, Jesus answered them and He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." So we need some honesty this morning, and we need to be honest with ourselves. And this is a very, very basic question that we've talked about a lot. Let me start off with the part of being slaves to sin. So when Jesus says, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin, who practices sin? Who has practiced sin? Everyone at one time in their life was a slave to sin because you're born into sin. Scripture tells us that, Romans 3:10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. So everybody has sinned in their life, has been a slave to sin. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time just on this because we do talk about it a lot, because we are born into sin because of Adam and Eve. And you would think that this is more of an elementary basic doctrine and basic understanding, but you wouldn't believe how many people that I talk to that don't have an understanding or don't believe that they've really sinned and that their sin has violated a holy God. They think that He will excuse it away or that it's really okay or it's not a big deal. And Scripture tells us in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So to say that we've never been slaves to sin or that our sin has not bound us would be lying and the truth couldn't be in us. And so even as believers this morning, we should think back on when we were bound in our sin and dead in our sin and be so very thankful for the freedom that Christ has given us from that sin. So let me get back to this real quick. What is the hardest thing, the hardest part for an addict or somebody who's addicted to something to admit? The first thing is that they really have a problem. And the hardest thing that people have to do, and we have to do when we are enslaved in sin, is to admit that we are enslaved to the sin. The hardest part is admitting that you have a problem, and that big problem, and that problem is sin. And only then when we admit that we have been slaves to sin, that we are in bondage and we cannot break it on our own, only then Can God work? Will He work and the Holy Spirit set us free? We have to confess and admit that we're sinners. You notice in our text, right after, in John 8:33, right after Jesus had told them that that through the truth that they would be set free, what did they say? Right now, let's go back there. Go back to 32. Let's go back to 32 and let's read it. It's what he says. 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What was their response? Which is not uncommon today. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How will you say that you will become free? What did they say? They immediately went back and said, what's this guy talking about? I'm not enslaved to anything. I'm a son of Abraham. You know, that attitude, now it may not be those exact words, but that is the exact attitude that lost people have when they're confronted with their sin 99% of the time. What am I enslaved? What are you talking about? I don't need forgiveness. I haven't done anything that bad. Or they try to justify themselves. Like, my sin really wasn't that bad. I'm not as bad as the other person. And they come up with all sorts of reasons. And the reason here that's being used is we're offspring of Abraham. It'd be like, I'll pick on my own kids, and I'm not going to pick on them too hard, but it would be like, sorry, guys. It would be like someone saying to them, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And their answer is, well, my dad's a preacher at the church. No, no, no. That's not what we ask you. And that's exactly what these guys were doing. They said, well, what are you talking about? We're offspring of Abraham. We're children of Abraham. We're not in bondage. And that sounds exactly like the people that we share the gospel to, that we preach the word to. And instead of admitting that they're enslaved, what happens? They bull up with pride. People are proudful. Man. And they reject the idea that they have an issue called sin. They immediately reject it. Before freedom can happen, a person must admit what? That they're enslaved. Before they can be set free, you got to admit you're enslaved. Hey, let's transition this real quick back to the 4th of July. Anybody besides my resident history majors know what happened on December 16th, 1773? Let me give you another hint. In Boston, Massachusetts. Oh yeah, I gave it away, right? The Sons of Liberty realized that they were enslaved to Great Britain, and they dumped a whole bunch of tea into Boston Harbor, and it was called the Boston Tea Party. Because they weren't going to pay taxes anymore without representation. Why? Because they realized they're enslaved. And they were upset by it. They didn't like that. I don't want to be enslaved. You have to admit you're a sinner and you're in need of freedom. That you don't want to be slave to your sin anymore. Now we're going to get to the big problem. Is many people try to break that slavery by themselves. And we can't do that. But the first part. Until you realize that you're enslaved, you never have true freedom. You never have true freedom. Turn to 1 Kings. In fact, I just added this little thing this morning. I read this week. I read it yesterday. And I added this morning because I think it's just perfect. King Solomon had requested from God. God said, hey, ask it. I'm paraphrasing, so go back and check me in Kings. But he says, ask of anything of me. And you know what Solomon asked for? I want to be wise. Give me wisdom. And God was so pleased with that request, because he didn't ask for money or wealth or women or anything else. God said, because you didn't ask for those things, I'm going to give you those things, and I'm also going to give you wisdom. But King Solomon had a problem, and his problem was the ladies. And we're going to read about that real quick. So ladies this morning, all you nice, good Christian ladies. But he had a problem with ladies who weren't followers of God. And let's read about that. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, and Hittite women, all the ites, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. You notice that's the lowercase g. Those are false gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had, here's my trivia question I love to give, 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father. What was Solomon's problem? He wasn't wholly true. He got caught up in sin, and he became a slave to it because of his sin, because he had lust. And what happened? He wasn't wholly true. So as we go through this, I want us to ask ourselves this morning, and be honest with yourselves, if you're wholly true to the Lord. What areas of your life can you be wholly true, in all the way true to God in your life? In all the ways. You know, witnessing this week and sharing the gospel with people, there's a couple of young men. They were about 15 years old. Their names were Quan and Larry. And when I went up and talked to them, when I asked them, I said, "Do you have a religious background? What do you believe?" They started giving me some crazy answers, just crazy answers. And I shared the gospel with them about 15 or 20 minutes. I visited with them and I prayed for them. Encouraged them to read the Bible and to ask the pastor there, Dean, if they had questions to go to church. Well, I saw Quan go over to, Dean was sitting over in his van. He's an older gentleman, has had an oxygen tank. I saw Quan go over to Dean's van and he started talking to him. And I went over and just stood there as they were talking. And Dean said, "Oh yeah, hey, Quan here. He was at my church a year ago and made a profession of faith in Christ." And this guy had just like totally not been able to tell me anything, told me there wasn't a hell, believed that everyone got into heaven, had totally a misunderstanding and was still a slave to sin. I said, "What are you talking about, Quan? What are you trying to fool old Dean here? What are you talking about?" And I called him out and he's like, "I got to go somewhere." And he took off, right? I mean, he was gone. But he was still enslaved with a sin, because he wasn't being honest with himself about where he was. And I think we all need to have a check here. Everybody, even my brothers and sisters in Christ, the word says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." We should all have a check to make sure that we are not slaves to sin, which brings me to my second point, being slaves to Christ, which equals freedom. Which equals freedom. So Paul, if you turn to Romans chapter 1, everybody turn to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, Paul opens Romans chapter 1 with this. And this is how Paul described himself. Paul, and I quote Romans 1:1, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." Some of the other translations will say bondservant. The context there actually means, the word servant means slave or bondservant. You see, when I say this morning that we're slaves to something in this room, everybody in this room, you're either a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ or you're a slave to your sin. So the word servant there means slave or bondservant. So all of us are going to be slaves to something. Christ and his power and his righteousness, when we put our faith and trust in what he did and what he did alone on the cross, his righteousness sets us free. And Paul covers that in Romans chapter 6. So turn over to Romans chapter 6. I want to go through 16 through 19. And this is challenging words. In the context here, he's talking to believers. Romans 6, 16 through 19 says this. "What then, are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means." What's Paul saying? Let me stop there real quick. Paul's saying, does that mean you can just keep on living in sin and living your life and doing what you want to do and living like you're a slave to sin but then saying, "Oh, I love Jesus"? Paul says, absolutely not. Why would we continue to do that? So go down to 16. I started in 15. "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the whom, of of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. What's Paul saying in all that? You were once slaves to sin. Now, be obedient to Christ and His righteousness, and your life should look different. You know, here's the thing about Quan, and hopefully, well, maybe he'll hear the podcast. I don't know, but and maybe I shouldn't have mentioned his name. So I'll just, you guys know what I'm talking about now. But the thing with him is he was saying I made a profession in faith, but wasn't living like it. When I walked up to him, they were talking about going down the road and robbing somebody. They were like wanting to get into some gang activity. He wasn't living, but then out of the other side of his mouth, he's telling Brother Dean, oh yeah, I made a profession in faith. What are you talking about? Those two don't mix. Those two don't mix, and that's what Paul was saying. We're all slaves to something. You're either going to be a slave to your sin or a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says it. He says it in Matthew 6:24. He says these exact words. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So you can't, listen, you can't have your foot halfway in. You can't have your foot halfway in with Christianity. And let me just be totally blunt and honest this morning. That's the biggest problem that we have. That's the biggest problem that the American church in general has. That they think they can have one foot in with the world and with Satan, and one foot in with Jesus, and they're good. Listen, guys, there's no gray area there. You are either here or you're there. There's no middle. There's no middle. I mean, we love the idea of being called a follower of Christ when it's convenient. I mean, church, I want the church and I want the pastor and I want the elders when they marry my kids. They can bury our parents. But the minute that being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ might cost me socially, or might cost me financially, or might cost my life, I'm out. And you'll never see him again. I mean, something better going on, they're gone. And here's the thing. Satan is always going to make slavery to sin look good. We talk about slavery, and you think, who would want to be a slave to sin? Satan's not going to say, hey, come here and let me handcuff you. He's going to make sin look good and look enticing. And what did he do to Adam and Eve? He's been using the same deception and the same lies for all eternity. He's going to make it look good. And here's the deal. People will spend their whole life in a jail cell with the door wide open, with the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness. And you can share the gospel to them. And you know what they'll do? They go right back into the cell. And they live in the cell. It breaks my heart. It literally makes me cry. It breaks my heart to share the gospel with people and have them walk away and be enslaved to their sin. It just breaks my heart. And they live. And then one day, we all have this appointment with God. I tell people that a lot this week. We have all of us have an appointment. It's appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. And when that appointment comes, guess what happens to that jail cell door? It's shut. It's shut. And they live their whole life like that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Something else I found. This morning, got up early. and I saw this. Ephesians 4:1. Now we're going to skip down. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Then go down to verse 17, actually 17 through 30. And I'll read it. It's a lot of verses, but I read it this morning. It's just so pertinent to this. Paul's talking about a new life. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give an opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And here's verse 30. This got me this morning. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Listen, brothers and sisters, when we live a life and we live like we're bound in sin, you know what we're doing? We grieve God. God is grieved. That's an emotion. He is emotionally grieved when we sin. When we sin. And people just, they just do it like, eh, it's no big deal. 2 weeks ago, right outside our building, I shared the gospel with a young man right outside our building. We got to the part where he was headed to hell. He was dead in his sins. And he got up and he walked away. He is done. He just shut off, right? It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Guys, that's why we have to. Listen, if we believe that truth comes from hearing and hearing through the word, what do we have to do? Share the word. That's why we have to be intentional at doing this. That's why we have to be intentional of doing this. So here's the question. What does it look like to be a slave of Christ? You know, we're a slave to something. Whether you're a slave to our sin or we're a slave to Christ. So what does that look like? You know what Jesus says? If you want to be my follower, you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? That everything in our lives is not as important as him. That everything else is dead compared to him. He's the most important thing in my life. So the things that I do I do things to please God or for my own self? Am I worried about attention or to look good? Or am I genuinely trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because I want to be pleasing to him? Hey, if I can grieve the Holy Spirit, I can give joy to the Holy Spirit too. That's an emotion. I want God to be pleased with me and how I live my life and what I do. Am I using my gifts and talents to serve him? We all are gifted, have gift and talents. When I read something in here, do I want to learn about him? Do I want to study it and learn it? And then when I study it and learn it, do I do it? Do I obey what it says? Or Do I live just how I want to live? And I hear this, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. And I got that over with for the week. Do I live in freedom? And the freedom from habitual sin that's found in Christ? Do we understand that we've become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? We receive the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of God. He's living inside of us. He gives us through the power of his word, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can overcome sin. We can overcome sin. Do I live in habitual sin, or do I have freedom from that? Is the Holy Spirit guiding my life on a daily basis? Is the Holy Spirit guiding my life on a daily basis? Am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in the Lord every day, every week? Is the Lord Jesus the most important thing in my life? I know these are practical questions, but we need to ask ourselves this stuff. Am I reading His Word daily and studying His Word? Am I active in prayer? Do I have an active prayer life where I'm talking to the Creator of the universe, which is just the most, one of the most amazing things about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that the one who created the Grand Canyons and Mount Everest and the Mariana Trench, I can talk to that? Wow, that is amazing. Do I do that? Do I have an active prayer life? Am I a member of a local body of believers where there's accountability and love and we're there for one another and there's discipline when we need it? So in closing, I want to close this here. Being a slave to Christ, it doesn't mean that we don't sin. What it does mean is that there is no longer any condemnation in that sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what Romans chapter 8, 1 through 2 says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when we become a slave to Christ, we have freedom. Freedom. When we become a slave to sin, and we are slaves of sin, at one point and another, everybody in this room in their life has been a slave to sin. When you are a slave to sin, there is bondage and death. When you have a slave to Christ, you have freedom. I keep pointing to the sin side over here. Sorry, guys. I'll switch that up next week. Here's the thing. When we do sin, do we confess our sins to God and turn from them? 1 John 1:9. I talk about this verse all the time because it's just it's an important verse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is something, brothers and sisters, we should be doing on not even a daily basis, a weekly basis, like if you're like me, all the time. We need to be confessing our sin to God and putting our faith and trust in Him. I'm going to ask our team to come this morning. I got some questions. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want you to be honest with yourself right now. I want you to be honest with yourself in where you're at right now. Right now this morning, nobody answer out loud. Are you enslaved right now to sin? If you were, I believe we all have an appointment. If you met the Lord today, this afternoon, are you enslaved to your sin? Or do you have freedom that's found through Him? Do you need to come and get down on your knees this morning and confess your sins to God? And put your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Maybe you're here today. I talked a little bit about membership in the church. Maybe I need to preach on it one Sunday. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you want to join this church. I see you come. Make your intentions known to this congregation. I'll pray for you. We're going to be starting a new member course pretty quick. You'll go through a new member course. I'll sit down with you. You're going to have to share the gospel with me because I don't want to add the world to the church body. I want to add brothers and sisters to the church body, right? So you're going to have to share the gospel with me. You're going to have to tell me about when you were saved. Tell me about when you made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go through our new member class. You need to make your intentions known. Being a member of this local body is important. It's a family of servants. Families fight, but we always love one another and we're there for one another. Do you need to make that commitment? Do you need to do that? All right, let's pray this morning. If you need to come, I ask you to come. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. I thank you. I thank you for the freedom that's found through your son Jesus on the cross, that we can be free from our bondage of sin. And if this morning is just a reminder of that freedom, I thank you for that. I also thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of the men and women that have given their lives in protecting our freedom on this earth from tyranny. And, Lord, that we're not speaking for the generation that fought in World War II and World War I, that we're not speaking German or Japanese this morning for their sacrifice. I thank you for that freedom that we have to preach and assemble. Lord, let us not forsake that. And Lord, above all, we want to glorify and honor you in everything that we do. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
Washed away my sin, Jesus, thank you.
Guys, what a great morning today. I want to ask Michaela to come on up here this morning. She is talking to Ben. She's talked to Ben, and this young lady has made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is coming this morning. I'm proud of you. It takes a lot to come up here. Do you got anything you want to say? No way. Yeah, okay. All right. We need to be there for her and help her and teach her. And I know Ben and Amanda are going to do that and our youth leaders. And Johnny, you want to come up here with your family. This guy and me have spent a lot of time recently together. I'm going through discipleship with him right now. So we meet every Wednesday night. And I went to high school with him. And we were both pretty ornery in high school. And God is working in him and his family. And it's been awesome getting to do discipleship with him and share the word with him and have time to visit and ask questions. And they're coming this morning. They want to join this body of believers. Also, Wednesday night, I had the opportunity to visit with Clayton, their oldest son. He is an awesome young man, and he goes to Drury University in Springfield. He's a wrestler at Drury University, so we need to think about putting him on security also. So he's an awesome young man, and he's made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had done that. But he's never been baptized. And we talked about baptism and what that was. And he wants to be obedient and be baptized. And so we're going to be baptizing him next Sunday at Greer Creek. So I want you, as we close today, to come around and welcome them and congratulate them and pray for them. Pray for them. Satan is going to shoot some arrows. He's going to try to get Johnny derailed from bringing his family, and he's going to try. And we talked about that. I'm proud of him. It's amazing to see God work in people's lives in our community. And I encourage you guys to pray for each other. And here's our verse. So we got it memorized. Ephesians 4:32. Here it is. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Let's close in prayer and come around and welcome them. Father, again today, I'm so thankful today, Lord, for the service. And I thank you for working in people's lives, Lord, and drawing them into you. And I want to ask a special prayer for Michaela this morning as she is a new follower of yours, that you will give her strength to stand up what the world's going to be throwing at her. Let us as a church be obedient, teaching her and her family also in teaching her about you. And I thank you for her. I thank you for Johnny, Lord, and his family coming to this church and wanting to join here and be involved here and serve here. Lord, let us as a church also be there for them to help them. Let them plug in and serve and to teach us, and Lord, to live with one another in love and patience and forgiveness and kindness. And Lord, in all things and everything we do, we want to point to you and we want to glorify and honor who you are. It's in your son's name that I do pray this morning. Amen. Congratulations.